Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is June 1, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about GISP partners with the UK-based retail association to enable multiple shopping options. Pretty Little Thing acquired by Boohoo. Fat Merchant partners Finix to streamline payment processing. Italy-based Commerce Layer raises $6 million MLN in Series A funding round. Gladly launches payments to enable transactions on messaging channels. Farmer Boy launches new e-commerce website. Marqeta raises $150 million MLN in new capital. Genie, BOC partner to increase digital payments via mobile wallet solution. Wells Fargo announces new risk management hires and strategy. Phishing attacks continue to find fuel in a global pandemic. Why fintech won't be enough to tackle the trade finance gap? Why bunk banks on the cloud for an innovative edge? Now let's get started. GISP partners with the UK-based retail association to enable multiple shopping options. GISP mobile app has partnered with the Federation of Independent Retailers, NFRN, to empower retailers with a solution providing same-day home delivery, click and collect, and in-store scan and go services. Consumers can turn to their local stores to benefit from one mobile app serving all of their needs with a suite of contact-free shopping solutions for both in-store and at home. Whilst previously only available within major supermarkets, local retailers will now be able to offer in-store barcode scanning with shoppers' smartphones, automatically adding products to the virtual basket and allowing them to check out securely via the GISP app. The app will be trialed in a number of member stores over the coming weeks. Pretty Little Thing acquired by Boohoo. Online fashion retailer Boohoo has announced it acquired Pretty Little Thing, e-commerce news reports. The company already owned 66% of Pretty Little Thing's shares, but with the current acquisition, Boohoo now owns the remaining 34% of shares. This initiative will help Boohoo take a step towards its vision to lead the fashion e-commerce market globally. In 2017, Boohoo acquired a 66% stake in PLT, and it generated about €575 million of net sales in the year ending the 29th of February 2020. That's a compound annual growth rate of 111% compared to the year ending the 28th of February 2017. Fat Merchant partners Finix to streamline payment processing. Fat Merchant has announced its partnership with Finix, a payments infrastructure platform, to power Finix Flex. The new offering allows SaaS platforms, independent software vendors, ISVs, and value-added resellers, VARs, to start processing payments immediately within their platforms. Finix Flex handles merchant onboarding, transaction monitoring and chargeback management. One integration allows companies to charge cardholders, disperse funds to merchants and satisfy PCI requirements. Flex is currently in its beta stage. Fat Merchant is a payment and financial technology company offering card-present, card-not-present, and contactless solutions to enable businesses to process payments in any environment. This unified commerce experience also provides data analytics on payment trends and connects business tools, such as QuickBooks Online and Google My Business, so merchants can control business operations in one place. Italy-based Commerce Layer raises $6 million MLN in Series A funding round. Italy-based e-commerce platform CommerceLayer has raised a Series A of $6 million to expand in more geographies and fit the needs of its customers. According to TechCrunch, the funding is led by Benchmark Capital, with participation from Mango Capital, DAXN, PrimeSet, SV Angel, and NV Investments. CommerceLayer has an API-based system that allows multiple SKUs, prices, and inventory data to help its customers sell in any currency, with distributed inventory models and global shipping, be it across a site or an app. Moreover, customers of CommerceLayer include Chili's, the fashionable water bottle company, Eau de Parte, Richard Ginori, and more, giving the company the flexibility to shape what it builds next. For example, if a customer wants an integration with Farfetch, the high-end fashion marketplace, CommerceLayer is building that to subsequently offer it as an option to others, a company's official reported. Gladly launches payments to enable transactions on messaging channels. Gladly, the customer service company, has introduced payments to facilitate transactions on messaging channels. Crate & Barrel, the national home furnishings retailer, is the first Gladly customer to leverage payments to generate revenue from the call center, closing over $100,000 in new chat revenue within the first week. Payments is built natively into Gladly's customer service platform, which puts people at the center of a lifelong conversation. Gladly helps brands shift the contact center into a revenue center by creating radically personal customer service experiences that help customers engage and purchase the products they want. Agents can securely accept credit card information from customers digitally if they're not transferred to voice to complete the process. Payments allows customers to complete the checkout where they want, thus reducing cart abandonment. Agents can also proactively send messages to customers at the right time. If they spend time on the website, for example, agents can help guide them to the cart and complete their purchase. Since implementing Gladly, customers have seen an increase of over 10% in customer service-generated revenue, according to the press release. Farmer Boy launches new e-commerce website. U.S.-based agricultural and construction supply company Farmer Boy has announced the launch of its new e-commerce website. According to the press release, customers can shop, create accounts, and chat with sales and services specialists at www.farmerboyag.com. The site features functionalities like an online chat, customer service with full social media integration, B2B account management tools, such as Quick Reorder Pad, Order History, Pay with Account, Wish List, alternate payment methods including credit key, an online quote functionality, upgrades on search and merchandising, a redesigned user interface, allowing customers to shop by product category, brand, or species. With this new site, Farmer Boy is embracing digitalization by investing in its people, platforms, process, and technologies. As family farms are being handed down to the next generation, providing them with the appropriate online shopping experience and digital tools is vital to help them grow their businesses. Marqeta raises US$150 million in new capital. Marqeta, the global card issuing platform, has raised an additional US$150 million in new capital from a leading institutional investor, valuing the company at US$4.3 billion. This latest financing comes on the heels of Marqeta's previously announced US$260 million equity financing in May 2019. Marqeta is also backed by Visa, Goldman Sachs, 83 North, Granite Ventures, and Iconic Capital. Financial Technology Partners, FT Partners, served as exclusive financial advisor to Marqeta in this transaction. With solutions like just-in-time funding and instant issuance, Marqeta's platform has helped to re-architect what is possible for enterprises issuing cards at scale. The card-issuing platform has supported companies such as Square, Uber, Affirm, Instacart, and DoorDash, with infrastructure and tools for building configurable payment solutions. With its open API, the Marqeta platform is designed for businesses that want a tailored way of managing payment programs so that they can power new modes of commerce. Genie, BOC partner to increase digital payments via mobile wallet solution. Sri Lanka-based fintech Genie has partnered with Bank of Ceylon, BOC, to act as the financial acquirer and digitize payments through its mobile wallet solution. According to Adatarana Biz English, thanks to Genie, customers can make payments and pay bills at over 20,000 merchant touch points, via the app or by making online purchases through e-commerce sites. Genie's one-click pay allows users to enter their card details one time, save it as a token, and pay via a single click. Besides, there are other features included, like digital vouchers, multiple bill payments, bill presentment and remote payments, which eliminates the need for POS terminals. Moreover, regarding the partnership, BOC has taken some initiatives towards digitizing its payment experience via financial inclusion and digital adoption across all sectors, including the grassroots level of the society. Through the merger, BOC hopes that its Internet Payment Gateway (IPG) will help Genie reach millions of smartphone users who can pay directly, with any payment option, from anywhere, thus driving digital payment adoption and encouraging financial inclusion across the nation, Adatarana Biz English reported. Wells Fargo announces new risk management hires and strategy. Kevin Reen and Bill Giuliano, who recently worked for JP Morgan Chase and Santander Bank respectively, will now serve as Wells Fargo's new corporate risk leaders, in the company's attempt to have better oversight going forward. The new hires are part of an initiative to add 5 new chief risk officers, CRO, one each for the specific fields of commercial banking, consumer and small business banking, corporate and investment banking, and wealth and investment management businesses, a press release states. Reen, the press release says, worked until recently as CRO for JP Morgan's card services business. For Wells Fargo, he will act as the CRO for consumer lending. Giuliano, previously the consumer and business banking CRO and U.S. Chief Operational Risk Officer at Santander Bank, will serve as the leader of the operational risk team for Wells Fargo. Both men, along with the other CROs when hired, will report to Wells Fargo CRO Mandy Norton. Norton, in the press release, says the new hires, and the upcoming ones not yet announced, would better position the bank for the future. We have made and continue to make transformative changes to our risk management structure and practices, including important work to provide greater oversight of all risk-taking activities and a more comprehensive view of risk across the company, he said, according to the press release. These organizational changes further those efforts and increase our ability to effectively execute our top priorities, including our critical risk, regulatory, and control work. The bank will also be shifting its operations so that other teams, organized by risk type and governance, will report to Norton as well, the release states. Enterprise testing, a critical function, will be elevated in status due to its crucial nature, and also report to Norton. The changes come as Wells Fargo tries to rehabilitate its image after it came out last year that employees had been creating millions of fake accounts under people's names to meet quotas. In February, the bank agreed to pay $3 billion to settle with regulators and close the case. Phishing attacks continue to find fuel in a global pandemic. Google issued a stark warning last week about the state of cybersecurity. Phishing attacks are on the rise and continue to take advantage of vulnerabilities resulting from the global pandemic. The warning coincided with separate reports related to Google and cybersecurity. Security experts are warning that phishing attackers are using Google Firebase storage URLs in an effort to trick targets into harvesting sensitive data. Although the tactic appears to be new and relatively small in volume, reports in TechRadar said the strategy often involves a fake vendor payment form to infiltrate B2B payment workflows. As the threat of B2B payments fraud persists, PYMNTS looks at the data behind some of the other latest cases of such digital scams. 15% of law firms have lost clients as a result of cybersecurity incidents, a new report published by BlueVoyant found, according to a press release. Its Sector 17 The State of Cybersecurity in the Legal Sector analysis found that 100% of law firms surveyed around the globe had been targeted in a cyberattack, pointing to the industry's $1 trillion market value, making it a prime target for data breaches, phishing attacks, and other malicious online activity. Among a lengthy list of attack methods, ransomware and third-party breaches remain common tactics against law firms, the report revealed. 1,755 warnings were sent out by Google's threat analysis group to users targeted by phishing attacks, according to a blog post by the threat analysis group, PYMNTS reported. The warnings signal a surge in hacking and phishing attempts, Google said, with cyber criminals using the coronavirus as a backdrop to their tactics. Some of the most at-risk targets include businesses in the financial services, consulting and healthcare arenas, the blog post noted. $20,000 in fraudulent checks was allegedly written by one Cambodian individual posing as a construction business owner, reports in Khmer Times said. The accusations include claims that the individual sent the fraudulent checks to a sand dredging company to settle debts. When the recipient went to cash the checks, they reportedly bounced. The case highlights the fraud risks of continued use of paper checks in B2B payments. $38,870 was allegedly stolen from a company through a fraudulent vendor scheme, reports in Herald.ie said recently. The case involves an 18-year-old in Ireland who was accused of posing as a legitimate supplier of medical ventilators and swindling one corporate buyer out of the funds, only the latest example of reported B2B payments fraud spiking in the context of the pandemic. According to the publication, unnamed sources said the individual may be a part of a wider global conspiracy to pose as legitimate medical suppliers. $555 billion is the price tag small businesses could see as a result of data breaches, according to recent analysis by IOMART. Taking into account the estimated 30.2 million small and medium-sized businesses (SMBs) in the U.S., researchers found that severe and catastrophic data breaches are on the rise, with the number of cases of compromised data jumping 273% in the first quarter of 2020. Nearly 40% of those incidents occurred in the U.S. Why fintech won't be enough to tackle the trade finance gap. Estimates of a $1.5 trillion trade finance gap were alarming when they surfaced several years ago, but the figure also presented an enticing opportunity for fintechs at a time when the market was ripe for banking disruption and digitization. In recent years, fintech innovators have latched onto cutting-edge technologies, from open banking-powered APIs to blockchain, in order to tackle some of the most pressing challenges of trade finance that hamper the flow of cash to global B2B traders. And yet, the trade finance gap remains. Despite all the digitalization, the trade finance gap has not been reduced meaningfully, said George Lee, Chief Operating Officer of CCR Manager. Indeed, while it is difficult to accurately assess an up-to-date figure, the latest estimates by the Asian Development Bank continue to peg the gap at $1.5 trillion. A fragmented approach. As Lee explained, one major obstacle to fintech's efforts to address the gap is likely the result of how vast, complex, and interconnected the global trade finance arena really is. Digitization is happening in pockets, but trade finance is highly interconnected and an interdependent system, he said. Global efforts are still some distance away from being sufficiently collaborative, and this results in a disconnect between said pockets of digitalization. Beyond the introduction of digitization to get rid of paper, promote visibility across all stakeholders, and enable the efficiency and speed of transaction processing, there are other points of friction that continue to stand in the way of progress. Lee pointed to a lack of standardization in the industry and siloed networks, for instance. Continued reliance on legacy processes, tools, and workflows is yet another challenge, while trade finance also remains a politicized area of global finance. Not least of all, the sheer, immense scale of the challenge is one that cannot be ignored when assessing why the trade finance gap endures. Exploring new avenues. Digitization remains essential to improving trade finance processes and expanding availability for global traders, but the current climate suggests efforts made by fintech are so far falling short. Lee highlighted several other tactics that might be considered, in addition to fintech disruption, that could finally help to move the needle on trade finance availability. Standardization initiatives are already underway, for example, with Lee pointing to the ICC's Digital Trade Standards Initiative announced earlier this year. The effort aims to bridge the silos that plague the trade finance community, not only through digitization, but also through the standardization of data and trade finance processes from one stakeholder to the next. Its effectiveness, however, will be dependent on member participation. Broadening the focus of trade finance technologies beyond the buyer, seller, and banks is also imperative. Other industry associations, service providers, credit insurers, and the like similarly have an opportunity to collaborate to improve processes. While trade finance is about moving money to finance a transaction, there are multiple ancillary players involved in a single transaction, and unless digitization efforts and fintech solutions can incorporate those entities, effectiveness will also be limited. What happens in the event of a default, for example? Lee offered. The reality is that defaults are an inevitable aspect of our industry recovery, and insolvency specialists have an important role to play in the trade finance ecosystem, and make it more calculable and more efficient. What's next? Several association groups and industry initiatives continue to develop and gain steam in an effort to hack away at the massive trade finance gap. Despite the limited impact of fintechs thus far, Lee said that bank alternatives will also be an important piece of this industry. I believe that a serious alternative will also be needed to traditional financial institution-led financing, he said. The financial services sector will continue to be constrained in its ability to support the growth and innovation needed in trade finance, he added, pointing to the regulatory and capital requirements that can bog down everything from technology investments to infrastructure overhauls for traditional players. Today, with the global pandemic elevating the pressures already faced by the trade finance arena, there may be more incentive than ever to combat the trade finance gap. But it will take more than fintech. Standardization and the fostering of a collaborative ecosystem will enable the global markets to persevere, and will ensure that even the smallest global traders can thrive. Why bunk banks on the cloud for an innovative edge? 9 out of 10 banks still rely on old-school mainframe systems for their core needs, a technological challenge that can result in legacy financial institutions, FIS, falling behind digital challengers. In Our Digital Banks and the Power of the Cloud Tracker, PYMNTS speaks with Ali Ninham, CEO of European digital bank Bunk, on how combining cloud-based infrastructure, artificial intelligence (AI), and machine learnings (ML) can help FIS scale without getting tangled in legacy infrastructure. Customer satisfaction is critical in any industry, and that typically means providing convenient access to digital tools. Losing customers can be as easy as experiencing one too many online glitches, however, which can drive clients into the competition's arms. Customers have more options than ever in the banking industry, where they can find plenty of digital or mobile-only challenger banks to replace older financial institutions, FIS, that have failed to keep up with their needs. That is why it is critical for FIS to build out networks that can handle an increased amount of transactions or swiftly analyze large reams of data, according to Ali Ninham, CEO and founder of European digital bank Bunk. The Challenger Bank has run on a cloud banking model since its 2012 launch and is available for business and consumer use in 30 European markets, including Austria, Germany, and the Netherlands. Because we built the whole system up fresh, from the ground up, our entire system is running on the cloud, Ninham said in a recent interview with PYMNTS. The greatest benefit is that it is just so much more scalable. Because we are on the cloud, we always have enough capacity, so our users never have to wait. Using the computing power that the cloud provides enables the bank to respond to customers' requests with more flexibility, he continued. It is not the technology itself that is important, however, but the strategy behind it. Banks that are looking to upgrade to the cloud must first take an introspective look at how they are providing services to their customers and if they can fit in an ecosystem where banking is becoming more digital than physical. Complex banking requires simple networks. Today's businesses and consumers have more complicated banking needs thanks to an expanding global economy. Customers want to digitally manage multiple accounts without having to wade through time-consuming login screens or authentication processes each time. They want holistic views of their personal checking and savings accounts alongside their business accounts or investment portfolios in the same place, which means the old assumption that one account is equal to one user no longer really applies, Ninham said. With Bunk, one user account results in multiple sub-accounts, he explained. We do not think in a traditional sense that one bank account equals one user equals one card. Rather, we think you as a user can have as many bank accounts as you want so you can budget easily and keep a good overview. Bunk, which officially received its banking license from Dutch authorities in 2014, applies this strategy by offering solutions like dual payments, which allows consumers to use one card to make payments from two separate accounts simply by inputting separate PIN codes. This is similar to the card aggregation solutions that fellow fintech Curve offers. User details are kept in the cloud with the help of Bunk's third-party cloud provider, meaning the bank does not have to struggle against server limitations and can ensure these switches from one bank account to another are seamless. Usage of the cloud basically categorizes into three benefits, Ninham said. One is the scalability, which allows for better performance, so one always has a seamless experience as an end user. The second is the added security because obviously, as a bank, security is paramount, and third, it allows for new technologies to be deployed rapidly. The third benefit is becoming critical to the evolving banking industry. Legacy banks are slowly adapting their platforms and innovation strategies in response to these developments while challenger banks continue to sprout all over markets in Europe and the US. Bunk is competing with entities like Monzo and Revolut as well as more established European players such as Deutsche Bank and ING, for example. ML, the cloud and competition. It is imperative to examine how newer technologies can play into customer satisfaction. Machine learning, ML, combined with the cloud platform adds a layer of protection to its services, Ninham noted, while also allowing for the development of more customer-facing features. We are using ML to link invoices scanned through customers' phones automatically with payments, he said. We are using ML to add an extra security layer to keep customers safe. We have a lot of ML modules running, and actually there, too, having this access to a lot of computing power in the cloud really helps because it allows us to analyze huge, huge, huge amounts of data in a quicker amount of time so we can actually deploy these ML modules. Using artificial intelligence, AI, and ML goes hand in hand with collecting larger caches of personal data, and banks must first be prepared to handle this flood of information. Events such as the COVID-19 pandemic have shone light on FIs that are able to keep their online platforms running seamlessly with increased digital transaction volume, for example. Banks that do want to stay competitive and stand out during this time will therefore need to go back to basics and create core banking infrastructure that allows for quick, convenient transactions, no matter how flooded the network. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.